504, hour number two. Don't forget, folks, it's election day. If you're on your way home, stop, cast your vote. If you live in the city of Lynchburg, it'll tell you who to vote for.
Don Sloan for sheriff, Bethany Harrison for Commonwealth's attorney.
Yeah, I'm on board with both of those as well.
They get our ESPN radio in Virginia endorsement.
And I'm not just saying that. I've actually talked to people who know what they're talking about. I did a little research on this.
I did some as well. They both have good experience, and I know some people that are have worked closely with both and speak highly of them.
So, if you're in Lynchburg, vote for them. If you're not, go vote for whoever you should be voting for.
Local elections, right.
Yeah, local elections all over the place. And for those folks in the western, the eastern, rather, part of our coverage area, Mary and Brian on WIQO, doing some special election night coverage. When are they coming back in, Anthony? Anthony Santani.
Seven's when they go back on the air. So.
Go back. Yeah, so they'll probably be here before that.
6:30. They operate like us. It won't be much before that. But they prepare a little more.
The princess doesn't. She just rolls in a few minutes before showtime.
Exactly. The red carpet gets rolled out, and that's when she's ready to walk right in.
Right. She gets handed notes like that are much more complete than the ones we get handed.
Easy.
Did that one hit too close to home, Anthony?
Rich,
you know you didn't.
If you worked hard on these, no, we have serious work ethic concerns.
No, you didn't. They look really good the days Jesse's in, and Jesse kills like four trees, printing out so much information that no one needs.
He puts whole articles in.
He puts whole articles in. Do we have Roland?
Yes, he has not been exposed to the Cliff Notes.
Right.
That will surely change in 4 years.
Which is surprising because he got through high school.
What is this?
Hi, Roland. How are you?
Is this abuse of producer week?
I think every week with Rich falls into that, but you could say yes.
Roland, as long as your books are, I don't think that you could look at this little the three lines that we've got here. I don't think it would pass muster with you. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I really don't leave myself much room to talk.
It's pretty obvious. I mean, this is like a half page. You're the master of getting every little detail conveyed accurately, eloquently, and beautifully in your works, like Michael Jordan, The Life, which I've read, Showboat, which I look forward to reading, among others.
Boy, what a kiss ass you are.
Look, I can speak from experience. I've read an entire book, and this is not like reading, you know, T.O.'s children's book.
If you've read my 700-page Michael Jordan book, then you deserve to boast a little. That's all.
How's it going, Roland?
Fortunately, I have some people who can say that, but it is a haul.
Well, it's very well done, and all of Ed's compliments are very well deserved as well, but it just sounded a little ridiculous with him waxing poetic. You know, must a little bit embarrassing, I would guess, for you, right?
Oh, I you know, I have no shame.
Oh boy. So yeah, like you said, Showboat's out, Michael Jordan, The Life. You've got just a slew of great books about the NBA. Anything you're working on now before we dive into the NBA Finals?
Oh, no, just my suntan.
Just your suntan. Very good. Roland's yeah. A big fan of the thong.
I actually had to write a Warriors Championship magazine for Lindy Sports, where I've been the pro basketball editor. So I finished that. I put the touches on it Monday night or Monday afternoon. So I'm I'm now waiting to start. I edit Lindy's Pro Basketball Annual, so I've got to send out all the letters, hire all the writers, do all of that. That's a summertime gig.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you worried about the NBA after what we just saw? Because Ed and I were talking about it earlier, and I think he's a little concerned with the direction the league's going.
We have a super team that obviously took all the oxygen out of the room in a fantastic way. It'll be interesting to see if anybody can really match that next year. You know, we're sort of in one of those pockets where we have a great team, but I've seen that a lot. You know, we actually have had two pretty good teams the last 3 years there go at each other. And back in the 80s when I started, it was the Celtics-Lakers with the Pistons trying to fight their way in. And then the Bulls ran over everybody in the 90s just about. And so, you know, these things are cyclical. The numbers on the NBA are through the roof. Even the blowout that it was, the ratings were the greatest since Jordan's last year playing in 1998 for each of the finals games. And the amount of money in the NBA is through the roof. It's unbelievable. The salary cap has doubled. It used to be, it seemed high at $60 million, and it's doubled. And so the amount of money in players' pockets is insane. It's so much of it's TV money, but they're selling tickets like crazy, too. So, you know, they decided to juice up the game a little bit back in 05, 06, as we've discussed. And more offense makes the games more interesting. How's that for a nice long answer?
You referenced the offense making the games interesting, but needing to see how things unfold in the offseason to challenge the Warriors over the long haul. Are there enough stars to go around, or are they kind of already set in place to where we have to wait a couple years for the deck to get reshuffled and some of these stars to add a little tread to the tires?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. I was sitting with Jerry West, I'll never forget, in his office. In 1992, he was an executive of the Lakers then, and he was saying, you know, there's only about six true superstars in the NBA at any one time. And that was true when the NBA had 10 teams, and it's true, you know, with the modern number, which soon would be up over 30. And he said, you know, you really have to count on other people to make mistakes so that you can get your more than your fair share of superstars. And I have to point out that the Golden State Warriors ended up getting Kevin Durant for a variety of reasons, but one of them was Jerry West was counting his superstars. And he's always been very good at that. He was good at it for the Showtime Lakers. And now he's a free agent. You know, there's talk that he may leave and go to the Clippers, but there's only one problem. Then he'll end up like everybody else. He'll be back trying to figure out where to find superstars again.
Roland Lazenby joining us here on the Sports Line. The Warriors looked really, really happy last night, and I don't mean that to state the obvious. Sharing the ball, feeling good for each other, feeling good for Kevin Durant, unselfish. They looked like they are the ideal team. And I'm using the quotation marks there because, you know, again, it seems to be all about the team, and people are willing to sacrifice their own personal gain in different ways, number of shots, number of points, everything. Do you think that's legit, and if so, do you think it lasts? Or
I think it's entirely legit. I think you also have to watch the way they play defense, and they are an incredible team. And the way, you know, this is the age of the pick and roll and the perimeter, and people run it in a zillion different fashions. They're always adjusting and attacking, and the Warriors are the craftiest team in the NBA at defending the pick and roll, and they know how to come up with a zillion answers. But those guys, you know, the Warriors have their problems, but those guys naturally share the ball. It's a very, very, very smart team. And, you know, there are pockets of selfishness on any basketball team. But one of the things that made those guys so difficult to deal with was how readily and willingly they shared the ball.
Roland Lazenby, ESPN Radio in Virginia, NBA analyst and noted author, joining us here on the Sports Line. Roland, you highlighted the willingness to share the ball. You've been around teams and you've covered teams as dynasties progress. Do you see elements among the personalities in Golden State that greed, that jealousy, that, you know, animosity and resentment could all actually factor in to splintering this team? Or is there a unique collection that you believe can limit or even diminish that impact?
You know, I coached a super talented AAU team about 16, 17 years ago. And when you have a team that's super talented, I mean, you have top quality players, some people have to sacrifice. And one of those is Klay Thompson. That's a good example. The, you know, the guy obviously can score. He's got records for scoring in a quarter, scoring in a variety of fashion. He's a really fine defender. And, I mean, if you just watch the guy naturally answer his questions, he seems to have adjusted nicely. And I think, you know, Kevin Durant coming to that team, a former scoring leader and MVP, it was an adjustment for him. He had to figure out some things. But as he settled in, he more and more began to see that it really wasn't a big deal. You know, Steph Curry, probably the guy who was willing to sacrifice the most, who had all this status as a two-time MVP, and of course he's from his folks, his mother in particular is from Radford in Western Virginia, and so he could have been you know, a guy who got his back up over this stuff, but they just had an agenda. It didn't hurt. And the reason they were so happy, as you mentioned, they got humiliated last year. They were up 3-1. They had that thing in the can, and they blew it. They looked like fools. They got punked out on their home floor in Game 7. And usually when you look at teams that are great, Indiana 1976, they had an injury, and they had a fabulous team in 75. They had an injury and didn't win. They lost to Kentucky in the in the postseason. I think it's a regional final, and they didn't get to go to the Final Four, and they ended up 32-0 the next season, because you get on that mission when things happen. And I think that's a big part of the story of the Warriors this year.
Okay, so everybody,
that part of it's good for pro basketball.
Everybody's concerned about the domination of the Warriors for years to come. They're young, they're under contract, you know, for the foreseeable future, people are worried that who's going to challenge them. So a couple questions. A, do we think that as happy as they are now to share the spotlight and, you know, share everything with each other and just go out being great teammates and, you know, do we think, A, that they're going to be able to continue to do that, or, you know, in the next year or so, might we see one or two of them want to be a little bit more selfish and, you know, glamour a little bit more limelight? And the flip side is, hey, LeBron did it, then KD did it. How long is it before we see somebody else, you know, do this and form another super team, understanding that, you know, winning championships, there's a very small window. And for a lot of these superstars, the window is closing quickly, and they might be willing to do that just to go get a ring.
I'm surprised to see it, because they're in the sweet spot. They've got a team that can be good for a number of years. And, you know, Draymond Green got a big contract for a role player. He got a huge contract, and he went out and recruited Kevin Durant. And so these guys, that's the one thing about there being so much money in the league. And it's not that they all will have totally max contracts. They're going to have to sacrifice here or there. But they have a chance to win a bunch of them. And it's not clear that they will, but the things that, you know, back in the day when Red Auerbach had his Celtics with Bill Russell that won 11 championships in 13 years, they couldn't leave. There was not much in the way of free agency. The contracts were drawn up on the back of an envelope, and this team stayed together. You know, you'd peel off a player if he got old, but once you get in that sweet spot, you just keep doing it. And it's sort of like UCLA. It was a college game, but UCLA kept adding players, kept adding dynamic centers in the 60s, right on through into the 70s. And so these dynasties have been a part of American sporting life, well, for quite a while. And it looks like we probably could have another dynasty. The one trouble spot is Steve Kerr's back. We've seen that he has a very capable veteran staff. These are veteran players. It's not that they coach themselves, but it's pretty daggone close.
The rest of the NBA, who realistically can challenge and give Golden State a run for their money?
Well, you know, the Cavaliers, LeBron, as much as he did, he's got to make that a better defensive team, and that's on him. It's his leadership. That team did not get back well. They did not play good transition defense most of the year. And that really, despite all he's done, that falls on him. That's bad news, but it's also good news because, you know, if there's something you can fix in basketball, it is transition D. Now they've got to go out and shop. They've got to get a talent upgrade. They've got to have some more scoring. They, like I said earlier, they have that memory of beating this great team. So their hope is very much alive. One of the interesting things to me was going back and reviewing that Greg Popovich, the San Antonio coach, the tape of him closing out his comments with the media after the Warriors got through with his team. And he just stopped and talked about what a great, great, great team this Warriors team is. What a great defensive team it is. And one of the things that happens when you have great teams, people, I don't care who you are, how much money you're making, you do not like getting humiliated and punked out. And the Warriors tend to do that. You know, they like to do their little things, their little ways of letting people know. And they have a lot of fun. They score a lot of points. They let people get leads. And then they sort of snuff them out. And so these other teams are going to get very good, or they're going to get very humiliated and continue that way. A big part of this, one of the problems is, a big part of this is on the executive leadership. Just like there are only so many superstars, there are only so many guys like the people in that front office, only so many guys like a Jerry West. There are people out there, but it is a lot of work to create a team like that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how far they can run.
You mentioned that they don't like getting humiliated. They don't like getting punked out. They're going to work harder and get better to not let it happen. But the bottom line is there are four superstars on one team and no team has any more than three. So, you know, eventually part of the equation has to be loading up another team or two with more talent to challenge.
Well, you'll see that. I predict you'll see that pretty soon. Players are going to migrate. They're going to try and migrate around LeBron to see if they can't create a super team in the East. But, you know, they still have to integrate. You can put down all the names on paper, but you cannot microwave chemistry. And so there are a lot of things. There's a guy like Carmelo Anthony. I've watched him a lot here the last couple of years, and he's a ball stopper. He really doesn't work as hard within an offense as he should. He's not much of a defender, but, man, can he score. But he's going to have an attitude transplant to if it's even possible that he would get someplace like Cleveland. You know, another young team on the rise, got a great coach, of course, is the Boston Celtics mm-hmm. in the East. And now that's a team largely a lot of role players, but they have a foundation. They're young enough, they might start acquiring some people. It's going to depend on the individual players, too, how much they want to grow, how much they want to become people who share the ball and, you know, build something. I'll tell you this much, the challenge is out there. The Warriors have definitely thrown down the glove this season.
Roland, thank you, man. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir, guys. You have a good day. We'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to it. Roland Lazenby joining us here on the Sports Line. Great NBA author. Throw out some of the accolades.
Michael Jordan, The Life. Kobe Bryant, Showboat. ESPN Radio in Virginia, basketball analyst.
No, the accolades. I mean, where you were talking about, you were waxing poetic about how great a writer he is.
Just came naturally, Rich. I didn't make that up.
You can't do it again?
I mean, Rich, he's got such eloquent expertise that he's been able to convey in such vivid detail in books such as Michael Jordan, The Life and Showboat. Is that more in line with what you were seeking?
No, well, I mean, you
I'm sure it's not good enough.
You were a much bigger kiss-ass earlier. You'd admit that, right?
I mean, you could call it that. I was just trying to, you know, keep it real, Rich. You know how I am.
I know. Well, I know how you are. We all know how you are. 525, Gary Hess. The Virginia News Network, WRVA, is going to join us next. Stay tuned.